Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to the AP Rallo monthly call taking place on Thursday, 17th of December, 2020 at 600 UTC. On our call today on the English channel, we have Satish Babu, Cheryl Langdonor, Holly Raish, Amrita Chaturi, Susan Marukya, Eranga Samararatna, Liana Galsian, Swadi Hassan, Nadira El Araj, Maureen Hilliard, Sridip Rayamaji, Namrata Epephran, Ali El Meshal, and Anrita Esterhuizen. We currently don't have anyone listed on the Chinese channel. We have received apologies from Gopal Sadepalli, Priyatosh Jana, and from Gunela Aspring. From staff side, we have Heidi Ulrich, Isla Gruber, Iranush Vardanyan, Mikhail Anisimov, and myself, Yeshim Nazar, and I'll also be doing call management on today's call. Our Chinese interpreters are Ray and Sandy for this call. And before we get started, just a kind reminder to please state your names before speaking, not only for the transcription and also for the interpretation purposes as well, please. And with this, I would like to leave the floor back over to you, Satish. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Yeshim. This is Satish for the record. First of all, a warm welcome to the last call of ECLO for the current year. So I think some of us have already started going off on vacation, but it's good to see that we still have all our leadership team plus the movers and shakers of AP Rallo in this call. So once again, let's get season greetings and let's get started with the call. I see that we have Andriette with us today. Welcome, Andriette, on behalf of all of us. Thank you for agreeing to speak to us about the IGF and the emerging developments there. And Andriette is joining us from Joburg, where it must be early in the morning, sometime around 7. And with that, we will get into our agenda. As far as membership is concerned, we do not have any pending applications in the pipeline. And we go to the third agenda item, which is our policy update, and it's over to Evan, Holly, and Justine for the routine policy update.
Evan, do you want me to start, or do you want to start?
Holly, Evan is not on the call.
Oh, okay. I missed the policy meeting this morning, but I can give at least a little bit of an update. Look at the recently ratified. I'm happy to take any questions about any of those. The things that are the two big issues, and I'm sorry that Justine isn't on the call, but we're finalizing comments on the subsequent procedures, which is, in effect, looking at the new GTLG program and a range of comments that have been made in various places about, suggestions, what might be improved, what might not. We're working through that, and Cheryl can actually talk a lot more about that, but that's been a huge topic. The other thing that has been an ongoing topic that we're starting on a new phase, the EPDP, which is the Extraordinary Policy Development Process in relation to the GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation. There'll be a new group formed to deal with one of the outstanding issues, which is legal versus natural people, and it's about the rules regarding the protection of personal information, whether or not that should apply to legal entities, companies, as well as individuals. It's a very vexed question, and so there's a small group, and I will probably join that small group to deal with those issues, but it's just more of the EPDP working group. The draft operating budget, I'm interim chair of the OFBC, and certainly we'll be working on that. Cheryl is also, there is a small group, we will be meeting on that and starting to make comments on that. Domain abuse activity has been an issue that has been on ALAC's agenda for some time. Right now, this is looking at a very specific issue, which is the reporting, which is one of the issues that we've highlighted over time. Comments are being sought, and I think from memory that will be Jonathan who's been taking the lead in that issue. I'm not sure if someone else is assisting that, but it's an ongoing issue for ALAC. So I don't have anything further to comment, unless, Cheryl, do you want to talk about the small subgroup that you're involved in? That's all mine.
Cheryl, for the record, I can. There's not a great amount to say from an AP Rallo perspective. A sub aspect of the OFBC stuff that we're doing. We're sifting and sorting from a prioritisation point of view with the perspective of internet end users. The documents are public and it will be reported back to the OSCC at its next meeting, which I believe is next week or late.
Early next week,
I think.
Thank you. Justine, there's no way that you can possibly summarize subpros. Do you want to talk about, do you have two or three issues that are primary, or given that you're multitasking, can one of those tasks be talking, even for 2 minutes, just to sum up where we're up to with subpro?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to do that. Sorry, I have a little bit of a background noise where I am.
Oh, no, that's right. Go ahead, thanks.
Okay, so this is Justine for the record. I'm multitasking because I'm trying to finish the subsequent procedures brief for GAC at the same time while doing other things. Bumper issue in respect of subsequent procedures, deliberations in the consolidation policy working group call earlier today, for me anyway, where we managed to complete discussions of what at large and ALAC should do in respect of the topics that we care about in subsequent procedures. So I'm happy to report that we managed to get through everything that we need to do at this point. Moving on, the final report of the subsequent procedures working, the PDP working group is still kind of evolving, but it should be locked down pretty soon. And that will be the version that's going to go out for a consensus call within the subsequent procedures PDP working group. So members of that working group will weigh in on whether they agree or disagree with the hundreds of recommendation and implementation guidance that's contained in the report. So we will be doing that as well through myself as a member of that particular working group. And what I intend to do is to take the positions derived from CPWG that's recommended to ALAC and apply those to the consensus call in my capacity as a member of the working group. At the same time, we're in the last motions of preparing a ALAC statement that would be submitted and appended to the final report of the subsequent procedures PDP working group, basically stating in cases where we disagree with certain recommendations of subpro, then we would state so, probably some rationale behind it as well. And in the cases where if a recommendation that we think, inputs that we have provided, which have gone into the final route, final report of the subsequent procedures PDP working group, but at the end of consensus call does not receive the level of support needed to make it consensus policy, and it's something that we had pushed for throughout our participation in the working group, then obviously we're going to make sure that we have a mention of that in our ALAC statement to SUPRO. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Thanks.
Thank you, Justine. And all I can say is there's almost a Herculean effort on your part to get all of this done. It will be coming up shortly, and there's just it will be a very interesting and very thorough report. I hesitate to say start the reading because there's a lot of reading to do, but it's just seeing slides are very good in terms of pointing out what the issue is and then what we've said about the issue at various times, and then asking questions. So it's been very easy to follow along. And if you are really interested, I can go back and view some of the earlier slides of the CPWG meeting to get some feel for where we're up to. Okay, thank you. And Satish, I think that's it, really.
Right. Thanks very much, Holly, Cheryl, and Justine, for the update. Indeed, this is humongous work. And the slides are, of course, an excellent way to summarize for people who may not be able to read the full report. So thanks again to everybody who's contributed to this work, especially Justine. We now go to the agenda item number 4, which is ALAC update. Over to you, Maureen.
Sorry, that's trying to unmute myself. yes, thank you. Thank you, Satish, and thank you very much to Justine and Holly and Cheryl for introducing that CPWG work, which is an amazing amount of work that's been done in that group on behalf of the ALAC. And we have already mentioned the work that Justine has done, and Cheryl gave an amazing thanks to her in today's session, which was really, really lovely. And, nobody works as hard as Justine has done for weeks and weeks and weeks on the subprocessing. And I'm really, we can be very proud of those three people and their contributions that they make to the CPWG. Just looking at, other things that are happening, and, we're starting to slow down. There's only a few more weeks of the year to go. So looking at, Holly mentioned the work that's being done by the operations group, and again, Cheryl's taken on another load with the small group that is just looking at prioritising a whole pile of recommendations that have been made and just sorting out what is of value to end users, as she said, and that we can actually comment on rather than taking on the whole gamut of recommendations and trying to answer everything. So that work is happening in that group. But more specifically within the operations group is the Finance and Budget Subcommittee. Now that is going to rise in prominence. Members who are just ordinary members of the Operations Finance Budget Working Group, but at a certain time of the year, like now, they come into prominence because this is where railways can actually start making bids for additional budget requests, the ADRs that you often probably have heard about. These are looking at requests that that you believe that with some additional funding from ICANN that we can actually might involve ourselves in a project or something similar that will have an impact on effective value not only to at large but ultimately to ICANN. So that if you can actually look at what's something different that we could actually do that would enhance the work of at large, you know, based on ICANN's mission, that's got to be something that's one of the top criteria. But also on our 2021 work plan that we're devising, that you know in relation to our policy work, we've got capacity building in policy. We've got outreach and engagement with the, you know, there's, as well as the operational activities that we're involved in. So this is the time for you to put your thinking caps on. All ABRs, all additional budget requests must go through your RALO. So you've got to discuss it amongst your group, first of all, and then those that are accepted by the RALO will go to the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, and they will look at all the RALO all the RALO submissions, and they will select the ones that they think has got the best chance of getting some additional budget requests, additional budget from ICANN Finance. So that's something that, and I think it closes in January something. Heidi, what's the date? Or anyone? Doesn't matter. Okay, you've got a few weeks to actually be working on. Heidi, please.
Yes, hi, Maureen. Yes. So, for at large, there's a slightly different process. So the key deadline for you and the RALOs is the 8th of January. That's the day that it needs to be submitted to staff. But before that, it needs to go to your RALO leadership and be endorsed or approved there. And then it goes again through the Finance and Budget Subcommittee and through the ALAC, and then it will be submitted to the finance team within ICANN. Thank you, Lee.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. There's so many dates going out of my brain at the moment. But the only thing, other thing that we're actually been working on, of course, is ICANN 70. I mean, I know it's in March, but it's still, you know, I mean, this is where we have got to start. And there, if anyone's, like, engaged in the ICANN meeting survey, you will note from what we've experienced this year, and if you've seen the new proposed schedule, it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot more condensed, but this is only a proposal at the moment. So what we did today was a bit of brainstorming about what we might possibly do for ICANN 70. But you know, watch this space. What I really would like you to do over the next few weeks is just to sit back and have a break. You know, I think that it's been such a busy year that you know, like, I mean, we've all felt the pressures, not only of what we're doing within ICANN, but the pressures that we're all experiencing in our own personal lives in the midst of all this pandemic. And, you know, I really hope that you can all, you know, all that I can wish you is that you have a happy, healthy and safe holiday, and best wishes for a wonderful new year for all of us. Thank you.
Thanks, you, Maureen. Thanks very much for that. I see Justine's hands up. Justine, please go ahead.
Yes, thanks. This is Justine. Sorry, I was typing something in the chat. Anyway, back to the request for ABR. The AP RALO deadlines would be the 1st of January. The AP RALO leadership team has asked for any annual budget requests, additional budget requests by any members of the RALO to be submitted to the APAC discuss list by 1st of January 2359 UTC, so that there is an opportunity for endorsement by the RALO and also consideration by the leadership team before any is submitted to staff for the purposes of consideration, onward consideration by the FDSE. Thanks. I'll put a note in the chat as well. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Justin, for that comment, because it's correct that we need some time to kind of assess the project before we can decide on it. So that's why the deadline is slightly ahead of the ELAG deadline. Are there any other questions from anybody on any of these matters? Yes, Holly, please go ahead.
Just a suggestion, given that we're fast approaching the deadline for submissions for the ABRs, Heidi or Gisela, could you put in the chat a link to the criteria that we will be looking at with some suggestions? Because if the leadership is going to be using criteria, which it will be obviously, then for all submissions, it would be very helpful if people who are wanting to make additional budget requests could have in front of them both the timeline and the criteria, so that it will assist in making those submissions. I'd be very grateful for that. And I think Heidi is doing that. Thank you very much, Heidi.
You're very welcome. Technology. If you just really quickly, if I may, just to clarify, there are two sets of, if you can call them, criteria or principles. So within this workspace that I put the link in, there are the ICANN principles. That's within the section called material information from ICANN. So those are the ones that they will be looking at that you meet. In addition, there are at-large criteria that need to be considered when planning a proposal. So, and obviously the leadership team will be looking at those criteria as well when submitting or when reviewing the proposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks very much, Heidi and Holly, for more clarification on the criteria for evaluation. With that, we now move on to the Justin. Is it a new hand?
Yes, just very quickly, this is Justine. I did send out a notice on all the information needed to do up an ABR to the APAC discuss list. I think it was, I can't remember the actual date. 12th of December, I think it was. So I'm happy to re-forward that again, but I'm looking for the archive link, and I will find it and I'll post it in the chat. Thanks.
Thanks, Justine. We now move on to something that we've been all looking forward to. This is a short presentation by Andriette, who is the chair of the IGF MAG, the Multi-Stakeholder Advisory Group. Once again, on behalf of all of us, I'd like to thank Andriette for joining this call. She has been kind enough not only to kind of say yes to EPIRELO, but also two other activities for INSIG and APSIG also. She had actually joined us for the inaugural. So it's over to you, Andriette, and I'm sure some of us will have some questions. So you have 15 minutes for your presentation, and we'll take questions and answers for 5 minutes.
Thanks, Satish. I'm here. It's just the usual juggling of presentations. So let me just share my screen. If you can enable that for me, please. And I'll switch my camera off.
Staff, can you please enable screen sharing?
She should be able to share screen. Let me stop what I'm sharing.
It's not working, but shall I just go ahead, Satish, without the screen?
Maybe one more time. If you can't get it going, then of course you can go ahead. Because the slides will be very useful for us.
It still says host has disabled, participant sharing. So maybe you need to make me a co-host.
Henriette, sorry for interrupting, but you are already a co-host at my end.
That's interesting. I'm not sure why I can't share in that case.
Let's try to withdraw the your co-host rights and then make you back again. Okay, now you are a guest. Let's try once again, make co-host. Okay, could you please retry?
I am retrying and I'm still getting the Zoom message, host has disabled participant screen sharing. So why don't I just go ahead, Satish, and
go ahead.
I'll share this with you later on.
Right.
So I want to start this, so just to introduce myself, I have been introduced, but just briefly to everyone. My name is Henriette Esterhuis, and I'm currently the chair of the Internet Governance Forum multi-stakeholder advisory group. And it's a real pleasure for me to be in this call with you all. You know, it's just such a pleasure because, in fact, I got to know ICANN. I've been an ICANN fellow traveler for a long time. But while I served on NOMCOM on behalf of NCUC, I got to know ICANN so much better. And I think developed a much deeper appreciation for the work of ICANN through my NOMCOM role. And I miss not having had much contact with ICANN processes. So thank you very much to ICANN for support of the IGF and to all of you for your participation. In fact, many of the people in this call, and I'm going to name Cheryl, but she's not the only one, I would see them part of IGF sessions at really weird times of the day. And I think I do want to apologize or acknowledge that while we try to make the virtual IGF 2020 time zone inclusive, I think the one time zone that really did suffer was the Eastern Pacific, Asia Pacific region. That was not easy for you, and so thanks for participating. So this IGF, the first virtual IGF, learned a lot from ICANN and ICANN's attempts to work inclusively, not just with your normal work processes, but also with the ICANN meetings. And I think that was quite useful for us. I think we also learned a lot from the national and regional IGF communities, because by the time the global IGF had taken place, many of these other regional IGFs, including the Asia-Pacific IGF, had taken place virtually.
Henriette, sorry to interrupt. Can you turn on your camera so that we can at least see you?
Okay, I'll do that.
And we should be able as well to see her.
Okay, just give me a second. Okay. Now you can see me.
Right. Thanks for that.
So this did turn out to be actually a very inclusive IGF. It was a big IGF in the sense that there were over 6,000 registrations. And if we count the YouTube views of sessions, you know, those were going over 20,000. And I think what we did do and what we learned from this process is that the normal IGF remote participation is simply not good enough. And that when we had to create a level playing field for everyone, we actually ended up having a more inclusive IGF. We had participants from 173 countries. And one of the most exciting things was that of the total number of IGF participants, 59% were newcomers. That just shows what happens when you have a more inclusive process, that more people join. Gender balance was also very good. And I'll share the slides with you that the Secretariat have prepared that gives the breakdown by region. Asia Pacific made up 17% of participants. So there, I think, you know, it could have been better, and I think the time zone selection made a difference. And I think Africa, I'm glad, was 15%. But again, I think we still, the challenge of getting more developing country and Global South participation in the IGF remains. And I think you have similar challenges in ICAP. But what I really wanted to talk to you about today is the IGF outputs and the policy messages and recommendations that emerged from the IGF, because I think some of them will be relevant to you in your ICAN capacity, and many of them will be relevant or of interest to you in your day jobs, if you have time for day jobs. So the four themes that this year's IGF looked at were data, environment, inclusion, and trust. There was a fifth theme, which is really digital cooperation, and that speaks to the UN Secretary General's broader initiative to build this roadmap for more digital cooperation, of which internet governance is a big part, not the only part. And if you go to the IGF website, if you click on IGF 2020, you will find the outputs. And there are lots of different outputs, but the one that I recommend you look at would be the thematic messages. So these are the kind of policy insights that emerged from all the discussions at the IGF. Under the theme of data, I'm just going to give you the headlines. Very strong message that data collection has to benefit people. And to do that, we need better data sets. These data sets need to be compiled without bias, without gender bias or geographic bias or other forms of bias. And these data sets need to be robust and safe. Otherwise, we actually cannot make effective use of them for whatever purpose it is. Consent, that was the other issue that stood out as a major issue. And I know ICANN has dealt with this in your GDPR work. And then the other important point, I think, is the connection between internet connectivity and enabling big data and new technologies. Without sufficient bandwidth, regions of the world that need to benefit from big data analysis and application simply can't. So the connection between building infrastructure and the effective use of data for good should never be forgotten. And I think the next headline point under data was the need for innovation in data policy. I think to a large extent the world has become kind of stuck on personal data protection. But there's much more to innovation in data than just personal data protection. There are ideas of self-determination in data, the idea of non-personal data. India, for example, has a whole process of looking at the use of non-personal data. And Switzerland has, in fact, done a policy paper on digital self-determination, which looks at making citizens empowered about decisions about how their data is used. So I think that's just an interesting thing. And I think if ICANN is going to come up with innovative ideas on how to deal with the data that is used in the whole DNS system, I think that could also become useful for other types of data. On environment, first time this year that the IGF is looking at environment, and I think it created a bit of a challenge for some stakeholders, but I also think it brought people together, because I think climate change is affecting people, and there's just more recognition of the impact of climate change. So you'll find under the outcomes on environment, looking at reduction of the impact of digital technologies. In fact, the internet and servers are now a greater contributor to global warming than the airline industry, you know, and that does place a certain burden on us. But then also looking at how these technologies can be used creatively to build more resilient and more inclusive economies. Under the inclusion theme, and that's an old theme for the IGF, and I think a theme that sadly does remain challenging, because the divide between those that have meaningful access and that don't have is reducing, but it's reducing very slowly. And you'll find their recommendations on innovative funding models, focusing on gender divides, looking on accessibility, and ensuring that all innovation, all new investment in tech is accessible by design. Multilingualism and cultural diversity, which I know is something that ICANN has done a lot on, also stood out as being essential. So it's not just enough to build the pipes and have the infrastructure. Policies at all stakeholder level, be it government or multi-stakeholder or even community level, needs to factor these other dimensions of inclusion into their processes. Online education and digital skills also stood out as important. So there's much more there actually on inclusion. I won't tell you more because there's too much. But then the final theme was trust this year. And the need for a stability and resilient internet stood out very starkly this year as a result of the pandemic. So on the one hand, you know, there was more recognition of the need for the internet. But on the other hand, I think there was also more recognition on the need to have protected, secure infrastructure that is stable. And that this is a responsibility that exists at all levels, at the levels of states, but also at the level of individual users. And that the whole idea of a culture of cybersecurity needs to involve capacity building, education and training, and partnership. This notion that government has to be responsible for creating cybersecurity and that it's a conversation which only they should be part of, I think was really effectively debunked by all the conversations on security and trust at the IGF. So when we talk about cybersecurity, we are talking, and we talk about trust, we're talking about a safe and secure online space for everyone. I think I will leave it at that. There is much more on trust and looking at the kind of mechanisms that we need, the type of capacity building, the need for governments to have greater capacity in understanding what it means to have a trusted environment for internet. And I think I'll just leave it at that. I think now for everyone's information, I think what is important from our perspective is that stakeholders such as yourselves look at those outputs and that you look at them through a critical lens of utility. Are they useful to you? Are we packaging them in a way that makes the richness of the discussion and the diversity of the views that are part of those IGF sessions, that makes it useful to you and that generates more discussion? So I think look at those outputs, use them. If they're not useful, tell us that they're not useful and make suggestions as to how we can make them more useful. The next step in the IGF process is going to be to put out a public call for input on IGF 2020, feedback on what worked, what didn't work, and what we should do differently. And then also the next thing will be January, there'll be a call for issues. Broadly, the idea is that, and I think there's a strong feeling that the IGF needs to be more focused, that it works very well as this large inclusive platform, but if it has to have more influence and more impact, it also needs to narrow at least some of the issues it deals with so that there's more depth in the discussion of those issues. And what we'll be doing is asking the community to tell us what those issues are that they would like us to hone in on and engage in more depth. So the new MAG has started working. I'm glad to see we have new members. I think, I don't know if Joyce Chen is involved in Apralo, but we have some, we had to say goodbye, sadly, to some of our fantastic MAG members from your region, such as Jennifer. But we have new ones, and we look forward to doing justice to the Asia Pacific region because it's just such a significant region in the internet as a whole. And I hope that we can respect that and respond to that in the IGF, and again partner with the Asia Pacific regional IGF. So any questions? I'm going to start looking at the chat now. I'm giving back to you, Satish, at this point, while I look for relevant comments in the chat, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thanks very much, Andriette. The floor is now open for questions. If anybody would like to raise a question, either place in chat or raise your hand. Justine, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Justine from Roycott. Hi, Andriette. So good to see you.
Hi, Justine.
Thanks for coming and sharing updates on the IGF with us. I had a question regarding some of the timelines that you mentioned about, you talked about a process in January, I believe, where you'd be looking, or IGF, there would be a call for issues and something along those lines. Could you repeat or elaborate more on dates? The reason I ask is because the AP Rallo is also looking at doing a survey to ascertain what might be the hot topics for our region. So I think there could be some overlap in that. Thanks.
That would be ideal, Justine. Okay, so the two timelines is that today or tomorrow, the call for the taking stock call will go out. So that's where we ask for feedback on the 2020 IGF. The call for issues will go out in early January with a deadline of around 31 January. It might be a few days longer, but the real deadline is that the first MAG meeting will take place at the end of the first week of February. So that's why essentially if we can get that feedback from you on issues by the end of January, that then gives us time to synthesize and then process that. And at the first open consultation and MAG meeting in February, we can then make decisions. So if you are going to do the survey, ideally, if you can get us the results by the end of January, that's perfect. If you need a few more days, tell us. But it can't be a lot more. And then secondly, I think it would also be valuable if you can identify a representative to participate in that open consultation and present the issues that did emerge from your internal process. So I hope that timeline works for you. I know it's not a great timeline, especially for the Southern Hemisphere, because people are on holiday. But there's also a lot of flexibility. So if you need slight extension of deadlines, I mean, the Secretariat will probably hate me for saying this, but I also know that they are very open to accommodating stakeholders if it is at all possible.
Thanks, Andrea. I have actually two questions. I'll raise the first one, and if there is time, we'll take the second one. This is about the IGF Plus label that was introduced lately, and we are aware that this means global digital cooperation or even enhanced cooperation. But given the geopolitics of IGF participants, especially some of the countries, do you think you can move beyond a common minimum program? Can you really push some of the agendas like digital human rights or digital inclusion beyond a point given the conflicting forces that pull you in different directions?
Satish, you broke up a little bit at the end. Just repeat that last question, that one about do I think it's really...
Yeah, so what I was saying was, do you think that you can go beyond a common minimum approach and really push the boundaries as far as some of the issues like digital human rights, etc., are concerned?
I think it's a complex question, actually. And probably I'll give it a yes or no answer. But let me start just by talking a little bit about, before I go back to your question, just to talk about the digital cooperation process. So I'm sure most of you know about this. It emerged first from the high-level panel on digital cooperation that the UN Secretary General convened a few years ago. Previous ICANN CEO Fadi was a member of that panel. That panel produced a very huge, complex report, which included different models for cooperation. And the IGF was just one of those. It was the IGF Plus model, but there was generally quite a lot of support for that. This year, 2020, the UN Secretary General in June published something called the Roadmap for Digital Cooperation. That was a narrower document, and it developed eight action areas ranging from, you know, connectivity to all, to human rights. This is where Satish's question comes in, to human rights, to artificial intelligence, to the architecture for digital cooperation, which is really where ICANN and the IGF sits. Institutions. I think it is very ambitious, Satish. I think it is very difficult to have effective cooperation when you're not dealing with concrete issues and problems. But I think it can be done. You know, I think there's some areas where we've made so much progress. Take something like human rights, for example. 5 years ago, let me say 10 years ago, to talk about the application of human rights in domain name development in the internet, in the IGF, was very difficult. Now I think we have a more concrete understanding of which specific aspects of human rights relate to our work, like protection of privacy, for example. So I think that provided that there is always a willingness to not just look at generalities and feel good statements about human rights is important. You know, provided we are, as a community, willing to drill down to the specifics, I think we can make progress. Now, I think the challenge is, one specific challenge that I want to highlight from my perspective on the UN Secretary General's digital cooperation process is the technical community needs to be more involved. So one of the things I would like to do in 2021, and I've already mentioned this in conversation with some people in ICANN and in ISOC, is to have some conversations specifically with the NROs, with ICANN, and with others in the technical community on this digital cooperation process and what it means for you. I think that's a conversation that has not been held sufficiently. And then I think maybe at that level one can be effective, Satish. I don't think you can cover all those things at the same time, achieve cooperation on all of those issues. But I think if you tackle them in a more specific way, but make sure that you tackle them in an inclusive way, I think is important. And so I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but I would say that even if the IGF goes more narrow in terms of the number of topics, I don't think it can afford to go more narrow in terms of the diversity of voices and experiences that it brings into the conversation about those fewer topics.
Thanks very much, Andre. That that was very useful because there is potential. There's also a lot of challenges, and this is a very kind of exciting development for us as we look forward to the future. So I'd like to once again thank you on behalf of all of us at APRALO, and on behalf of our community, we'd like to wish you happy holidays and a great year ahead as the IGF chair.
Thanks very much, Satish, and thanks everyone, and I look forward to the input from APRALO. The IGF has to remain a platform that adds value to people like yourselves, so that's really important. So getting your feedback is something we really need. So looking forward to a year, and happy holidays to all of you as well. Bye-bye, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and bye. So we see that Leon has actually joined us. Welcome, Leon, and would you like to talk to us for a couple of minutes?
Thank you, Satish. Yes. I wanted to join because... As you know, I try to join as often as possible to the AP Rally calls, and I was able to join the last one, so I didn't want to miss the last call of the year. So, just to deliver a brief message on behalf of the board, on behalf of Martin as the chair of the board, thanking everyone for their work throughout this year. We know that this has been a different year in many ways, and I always say that at-large work, the at-large community work is always outstanding, but this year it has been extraordinary. And I have to say that the at-large community has been up to the challenge and has been, as I said, not only outstanding but extraordinary in the way that you have followed these trying times and the way that you have delivered on the work that you do and contributing to ICANN's mission. As you know, we are all facing very difficult circumstances, but of course, being all volunteers in this part of our community, it takes quite much to actually be able to contribute in a meaningful way. And I think that the way that everyone in the at-large community, and especially in the Asia-Pacific region, has been, again, extraordinary. So please receive this message on behalf of the board and Martin with our gratitude and thankfulness for everything that you have done throughout this year. We really wish everyone the best of holiday seasons in any way that you celebrate. We know that we are a very diverse community, and we may have different ways in which we celebrate the end of the year or the calendar year at least. And we want to wish everyone the best of holiday seasons, to wish everyone to be well, to stay healthy, to stay safe. And we really look forward to the coming year, and we hope that 2021 will be a better year for everyone in many ways, and hopefully we will be able to resume normality and to begin meeting face-to-face again. And on that end, you may be aware that there has been an effort, an ongoing effort of consultation between ORG, the board, and the wider community. And we have been consulting with the larger community on the different ways in which we can resume normality and have a phased approach into going back to face-to-face meetings. We received the feedback of different parts of the community to this first phase of interaction, and this feedback is being analyzed and, of course, incorporated into the phased approach to going back to face-to-face meetings. So I want to thank everyone also for filling in the survey, for providing answers to the different questions that were posed to you, and encourage you to continue to provide this feedback. The only way we can have, at least a sensible plan to try to go back to normal as soon as possible is with the input that you can provide. So again, I want to thank everyone who contributed to this effort and tell you that we are working on trying to get us all back to normal as soon as possible. Last but not least, I want to wish again Cheryl a happy birthday. I know that I wished her a happy birthday like 3 days in advance, then I wish her a happy birthday on the day that it was her birthday, and now I believe it's already past her birthday where she is. So happy birthday, Cheryl. And again, may everyone have a healthy, peaceful, and sweet holiday season wherever you are, and according to whatever tradition you have. So thank you very much, and back to you, Satish.
Thank you very much, Leon, first for joining us in this call in what must have been a difficult time zone, but also for the for the very appreciative message from the board. We would like to share our deep gratitude to the board. Please communicate to Martin and the board our thanks, and also wishing the board a very happy festive season and holidays ahead. Thank you very much. We now move on to the Norcom update. Over to you, Amrita.
Thank you, Satish. Amrita here. So we had our initial call last week at the Norcom on the onboarding session. And for this year, we were discussing the various subcommittees and who all would be interested in the others. For in terms of schedule option, you know, the ICANN board members came and shared their overview on their expectations from the new candidates and what they were looking for and the timelines. Based on this, a passive-aggressive schedule is currently being discussed, wherein the idea is to give more time for the application process, but to go more aggressive on the soft dive, the deep dive, and the winnowing process. The NOMCOM Secretariat is expected to come up with more details on this, hopefully by this week or perhaps next week, you know, to share it to the public, along with the kind of positions which would be opening up. The application period is expected to open up somewhere around the mid of January, and for a two-month period. That's how it is looking, but we still need to see how it finalizes. And the application subcommittee has started looking at the application to kind of finalize it at this point of time. So that's all from me on the NOMCOM front. I know many people are going away on your holidays, but for the AP Rallo newsletter, in case your ALS or you as an individual member have done something, please do send me and the staff the updates, preferably by this week or by the 20th, so that we can assimilate it. And while I would be sharing, sending out a mail to the AP Rallo leadership, but I would like to have a few lines from you on how you look at the next year from AP Rallo's perspective. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Amrita, for the updates on NOMCOM as well as the newsletter. We have about a minute left. Does anybody want to make any last comment or question? If not, we note that our next meeting is on the 21st of January. And until then, I'd like to wish you all once again a very festive holiday season in whatever way or form that you are celebrating. And with that, we are adjourning this meeting. Back to you, Yashim, for closing the meeting.
Thanks so much, Satish. Actually, we have a very short video that we would like to display, if that's okay for you.
Yep. Please go ahead.
And this was it. Thank you all very much for joining the last call of the year, and wishing you all a happy new year and see you all in 2021. This meeting is now adjourned. Have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Thank you and bye-bye.
Happy holidays, everyone. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Happy holidays.